This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
How's everybody doing today? So the ladies are having a paint party. What they don't know is that they're painting our foyer. They're gonna repaint the whole thing. I'm just gonna save some cost. You know, they think that they're gonna come and have some nice canvas that they can paint on and, you know, enjoy their time. What they don't know is we got a whole list of rooms that need repainted around here. So we just decided we can kill this. We can kill multiple birds with one stone and they'll pay for it. No, no, it'll be a great time for the ladies to come and be a part of that. You won't be painting any rooms, I promise. Although that is a great idea. But well, if you're new here, as Pastor Scott said, we're glad that you're here today. Welcome to Fellowship Church. And if you're visiting from another church, we just encourage you to keep going to that church, keep supporting them, keep rolling up your sleeves, keep giving, keep strengthening that local body. And if you don't have your own home church, we invite you to be a part of what's going on here. We've got a lot of things going on, like painting rooms and different things like that. So you're always welcome here. And we want you to be a part of what's going on here, because you know, Jesus said that the church, he was building his church, and the church is not a building, it's you as an individual, as a believer. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, you're a part of the church. But there's an assembling of ourselves together where we bring our gifts, we bring our talents, we bring what it is that God has put into us. And he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. What you don't realize is, or maybe you do realize it, but when you gather together, man, there's strength there. There's something that happens on the inside of you. And, you know, sometimes you walk away from it and you're like, you can't really put your finger on it, but it's God's design. It's his intention for you to be a part of a local body of believers, because there's other people, there's brothers or sisters in Christ that they're there to strengthen you and sharpen you and call you up and help you and encourage you and pray for you when you need it, and vice versa. When they're down and when they need help, you're there for them. And so it's important to not go through life doing life alone. And so I just encourage you guys to just keep on keeping on, stay hooked up, stay plugged into a church, because that's where he designed for you to get all that you need. I believe with all my heart, I believe after many years of being in ministry, I believe with all my heart that the Lord has a specific place for you. And I mean to tell you, if you'll get plugged in there, he'll begin to change you and transform you. He'll bring things out of your life that you never dreamed were possible if you will plug into the local church. But what happens is that people talk themselves, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but you know, they may talk themselves out of, but I think the enemy just kind of gets them off on their own and makes them kind of devalues the church. You don't need the church. It's, you know, it's just a bunch of fanatics who are up there crazy. And, you know, listen, man, when you understand what Jesus has done for you, when you understand that Jesus is alive, you'll be a fanatic about what it is that God's done in your life. And I mean to tell you, I was standing there on the front row this morning, I'm like, well, there might be some people here that think we're fanatical. But I think that when you understand where you were before Jesus gave his life, you would absolutely be fanatical. You know, we got March Madness going on around here, and I know that there's some real fanatics in this room. I've seen some of you, I've heard some of you, you're fanatics. But can I tell you that there is a madness, a March Madness, the likes of which you will never see when Jesus returns. And there will be an exuberance and an excitement the likes of which you will never see. But you have to understand, man, there's coming a day and it's gonna be a party and you wanna be a part of it. And I'm not saying, you know, some of these games, some of these upsets that we've seen, I mean, they are phenomenal. But I mean to tell you, when Jesus returns, what it is that Jesus is gonna be doing in this earth, you wanna be a part of it. It will be phenomenal. And I don't know about you, when I was playing sports, I never liked being on the sidelines. I'm like, coach, put me in. I don't care what position I play. I want to be on the field. And as believers and as followers of Christ, man, well, let's be on the field. That's just message number one. All right. You guys ready for this? I want to share My title of my message today is Easter to Remember. You know, as I was looking at some of the scriptures, you know, surrounding Easter, this word remember just kept coming off the page to me. And, you know, and I think that, you know, how many of you guys, like my mom, we celebrated Easter here the other day, and she texted me and said, hey, you know, I need you to bring a bag of ice. How many of you guys are going somewhere and you got something in the car? You know, you got eggs, all right? What are those things called? Devil's, oh my gosh, those things are so good. I mean, you could eat a half a dozen of them. I mean, right? But anyway, so if you're supposed to be bringing those, sometimes what will you do? You'll text that loved one. Maybe they'll text you. Why? They want you to remember those eggs, right? There are people that are depending on those things. We all need remember. We all need reminding of things, you know, whether like, you know, my wife, you know, sometimes she has to do this with me a lot. She has to remind me a lot. I mean, a lot. It's embarrassing. I hate to even admit how much I have to be reminded, but you know, just as I have to be reminded, we have to be reminded. And she's, a lot of times it's like, she'll ask me to do something and then she'll text me right before I get ready to leave the church or whatever. She said, don't forget. Remember to pick it up. You know, it might be some important ingredient, or it might be some of that bread, that, what is that, Italian bread? Oh, yeah, you know, that you put butter on. I'm sorry, I got to stop talking about food. I'll lose you guys. But, you know, it's the important things that she'll text me, and she's like, I need this. So you got to go to the store. You got to pick this up. You got to bring it home. Don't forget it. We need it, right? But inevitably, right, we all forget. We get home, and I come through the door, and did you bring it? Oh, right? And it's like you just have this sense of failure in your life. It's like, oh man, I forgot, you know, and you just kick yourself. Anybody else like that? That's kind of how I am, you know? And so we just need to remember. Got to remember, you know? And so we all need reminders at times, you know? Men, you guys need reminders of anniversaries and your spouse's birthday, and right? Women, can I get a witness in here? Right? They need that reminder. Ladies, sometimes, you know, you got to be reminded to pick up your kid, right? We have to do that sometimes here at church. Hey, don't forget to pick up your kid. We're not going to keep them forever. Students, I know I've got a few students in my house. Sometimes they forget and they need a reminder of the assignment that's due at a certain time. Sometimes they forget and then, you know, things go awry. I need a reminder, you know. So I got a question for you. How many of you guys use these? Sticky notes. Anybody in here use sticky notes? Now I know, I was thinking through this. I was thinking through this whole thing, and I know that there are some people in here and they are just so organized and they have these calendars that we all just look at and we're mesmerized and we, you know, wish we could live our lives that way because we're not organized, and so we have sticky notes sticking everywhere. And so that's what all the organized people, the people that have the really good calendars, they're the ones that are like, I don't use sticky notes, I'm organized, I have a calendar. But for the rest of us, we need a reminder. We need a sticky note. And we do that because we need to remember something. We use them so we don't forget. When we remember something, we value that. When we value something, we remember it. Just like this day, this resurrection that we are celebrating today, it is something that we value. If we understand it, we value it. And we remember it. And we don't just remember it for one day. It's just not just Easter. It's like every day we're reminding ourselves of what it is that Jesus did through his resurrection. And so, you know, when it comes to these sticky notes, I took a picture here the other day, and I was walking out the door. I laughed. I laughed at this picture because it was just so cute. It was so funny. And so look at this picture. This is a picture that I took on my way out the door. And what this is my son loves Prime. He loves this drink. It's, you know, it's all the rage, I guess. And what you got to understand, guys, is that he put a sticky note on the doorknob that is 20 inches away from the bright pink and yellow Prime bottle. I mean, do you need a reminder? Do you really need a sticky note? I stood there, I'm like, this is hilarious, you know? But hey, You know, I had a few people in here shaking their heads. Yeah, yeah, you got to put that sticky note right on the doorknob because it's sitting right there. And I, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because my wife puts sticky notes on that very doorknob that goes out into our garage all the time. I will literally trip over a bag that has a sticky note on it that says, take this to work or take this to so-and-so. You know, so for us lower people, sometimes we need a sticky note. Sometimes we need a reminder. Amen. We need a reminder because Jesus' resurrection was a moment that we should never, ever forget. It's like that prime bottle. His resurrection is a beacon of hope. It's a beacon of life. It's a beacon of an answer that people need. It is the solution for people. And they need to see that. They need to be reminded of it. And we as believers, man, it needs to burn within us. And we need to proclaim to the world that's around us that he has risen. He is alive and he was resurrected for people that are lost, people that are hurting, amen? And so it's a moment. This resurrection was a moment that changed everything. If it wasn't for that day, we wouldn't be here. Right? We'd be, who knows where we would be. We wouldn't be here, but we are. And so I want to look here at Luke 24, and I just want to look at a few scriptures that just remind us of the importance of the resurrection, and then we'll have an altar call, we'll take communion, and then our kids are going to come in. We're going to just celebrate as the ending of our service with a song. Amen? So look here at Luke 24. This is, I guess you would call it the key text, but I want to just read here five verses to just kind of put this all in context, and it kind of just goes along with this day. Look what it says. It says, early Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, and so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared, clothed in dazzling robes. And then in verse 5, it says that the women were terrified. They bowed down with their faces to the ground, and then the men asked, look at this. Where are you looking among the dead? Or why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Now look at this. This is what really popped off the page at me. Remember what I told you. So here they are. They're standing in there. They're just in disbelief. They're in, can't even believe it. It's like, wait a minute, Jesus is gone. And then two guys show up, two angels, you know, in dazzling robes. And I mean, they're probably like, what is going on? And these two guys were like, remember what Jesus told you. Now, have you guys ever been shocked and awe, right? I mean, how many of you guys have ever been in shock? I've got a few teenage drivers right now. And when you ride with them, it's like you're in shock and awe. So I can imagine that these ladies, when two angels showed up, man, they were in shock and awe. And so, but they said, remember what he told you. Remember what Jesus told you in Galilee. And what he said in Galilee, guys, remember, when you look through the Gospels, Jesus predicted his death multiple times to the followers. He told them about it before it ever even happened. You know, so it's like, how can they forget? How could you forget something when Jesus told them time and time and time again, he told them, yet they forgot. It's kind of like me walking out the back door, tripping over the Walmart sack that needs to go. We forget. It's kind of like the prime bottle that's sitting on the side and we walk right past it. How could we forget? And we say, how could they forget? But he said, remember what he told you. And what you have to remember is that the angel said, remember what he told you. Wives, we say this. Don't forget to pick it up. Moms, we say, what did I tell you? I can't believe you've forgotten that. That's what we say. We say these things. But Jesus told them in Galilee, he said, listen, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be killed. And I am, after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. He told them that. And so these angels were pointing them back to what it was that Jesus said. And so today I want to look at a few things that we must remember surrounding his resurrection. And the first thing is, in your notes, is that we need to remember that Jesus is alive. Do you know that? All the other religions in the world, all the great people, no one else is still alive, but Jesus is alive. And we have to remember that. We have to remind ourselves that he is alive and that he is coming again. Jesus had told the disciples multiple times, and obviously Jesus was trying to get this very important event across to the disciples, a life-changing event for all of mankind. The reason that he came to this earth. It's the reason he came to this earth, and he told them. Yet these women failed to remember. And so in the midst of them not remembering, look at this question. This question is, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? That's interesting. So number one, they didn't remember. Number two, why are you looking for somebody that's alive among people who are dead? Yet here they were searching for the living among the dead. I think in essence what these angels were saying is said, you're looking in the wrong place. And so my question to you today, whether you're a believer or maybe you're new to the things of God or maybe you don't know him as your Lord and Savior is how have you ever looked in the wrong place for something? Are you searching for something in the wrong place? We've all done that, right? We've all looked. I mean, we hid some baskets for the kids the other day, and they're out. You know, a couple of them found them real quick, and but there was one of my kids. I'm gonna keep their, you know, so that it doesn't identity. Their identity. They were the last one, and they're out wandering around. Going from here to here to here. And what do? You're getting warmer? No, you're getting colder. You're getting warmer? And so the same thing is true with this, that these women were looking in the wrong place. And sometimes in life, guys, we look in the wrong place. We look in places for things, for an answer, and it's in the wrong place. And I think that that problem today is true, that people are looking for life among dead things. And so my question to you is are you looking for life in certain things in the wrong place? Are you looking for life in dead places? Are you looking in places that you're expecting life, you're expecting joy, you're expecting peace, you're expecting something, but you're not getting it? I would challenge you to think about it from this standpoint, that what it is that you're seeking and searching after is never, it was not designed to give you the life that God gives you. And so you just have to realize, you know what? I'm not gonna seek this thing for life. I'm gonna seek him for my life and allow this other thing to line up with what it is that he has told me. And so we just have to ask ourselves that question, because I think it's tempting in our lives, even as believers, and if we've been believers for a long time, we can still run into that trap where we drift off and we begin to seek things that we're trying to get life out of it, and it was not designed to get life out of it. We need to look to him and not look in the wrong places. And so it goes on to say here, actually to go along with this, that a lot of people look in the wrong places. 1 Corinthians 8:6 in the Amplified, it's not in your notes or on the screen, so you're just gonna have to listen. It says, yet for us there is only one God, the Father, who is the source of all things. So we just have to settle that in our heart, that it's like, you know what? My Father is the source of all things, and he is who I am going to search for. I'm not gonna search in these wrong places. Psalm 16:2 says that every good and every perfect thing comes from you. Did you know that? Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you don't know your Heavenly Father or God. You don't know him as the giver of good things. I'm here today to tell you that he is the giver of good things, and he loves you. And in Jesus, there's peace, joy, happiness, success, and purpose. I don't have the scripture there because I minimized it, and it's not there. Do we have that one back there? What is the next first scripture? The one after that. You got it? Anybody? I'm looking for the one. I'll just keep going. Okay, in your notes, remember, find life in Jesus, not in the dead things. It's the one before that. Find life in Jesus and not in the dead things. Is it there? What's the one before that? Yeah, There it is. John 10:10. She didn't even write the message, and she's giving me the there it is. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What's the verse before that one? There's not, I know there's one there. There it is. John 14:27. Woohoo! Whew. Peace I leave you with, my peace I give unto you. Look at this. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here's the deal, guys. In the day and age we live in, there are people looking for peace. They're looking for peace in all of the wrong places. But we have to understand that he gives us peace. We got to come to him. We got to come to him and say, I need your peace. Not as the world gives, I need your peace. You know, we think peace is having enough money. We think peace is having a home. We think peace is having a car. We think, you know, we think all of these things, they're the wrong things. His peace, he is the only giver of peace in our lives. And so we have to look to him and not to the things that were never designed to give us what it is that we need. So the angels went on to remind them in verse 7, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. And then they remembered. Then they remember. Oh, gosh. You know, and aren't we like that sometimes? Like, we'll be driving down the road, I feel like I'm alone in here, like I'm a forgetful person or something. But, you know, it's like, oh, yes. That's what these ladies, oh, yes, to the angels. Yes, I remember. I remember him saying that. And then they remembered. And they remembered. That's right. He said he was going to suffer. He said he was going to be rejected. He was going to die. And then he was going to rise on the third day. And something happened inside of them, because what was sown into their life by Jesus came alive. And when it came alive, they went back. And they began to share with the other disciples with them and say, hey, listen, and this is what's so sad. Look at what it says here in verse 9. But they came back, and the story sounded like nonsense to the men. It sounded like nonsense, and so they didn't believe them. These were the same men that were told these very same things. But look at this. I like Peter. Don't you guys like Peter? It says, however, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings, and he went home again wondering what had happened. You know what's so funny about this? In other versions, it says that all of them, a bunch of them ran. And Peter was the slowest. He was the slowest. But the thing is that Peter might have been the slowest, but in the other versions, the other guys didn't go in, and Peter did. You know, so he might have been the slowest, but he was the bravest, and he went in. And so we have to understand that we have to be reminded of this. And I see three things in this, is that these women, when they were at the tomb, they visited, they were reminded, and then they remembered. And then there was an excitement to them that was real. And they remembered what Jesus had promised. And they remembered that he had followed through on the promise that he had given to them, that he would rise and that he was alive. And so they were living in that reality. They were living in the reality that, yes, we remember, he is alive. And it changed them. It changed them. But see, we see others, the others that were told, they thought it sounded like nonsense. And they didn't believe. And can I tell you that even in this crowd and in the life in which we live, not everyone is going to believe that Jesus is alive. That's what's so sad, is that not everybody's going to, they're going to think it's nonsense. They're going to think that the resurrection was just another day. And they're going to miss the significance in their own life. And so my prayer is that you don't. My prayer is that you remember just as these women did, and there's an excitement and an urgency, just kind of like Paul prayed, that more and more we understand the resurrection, and that we are not like those that think it's nonsense and don't believe. Many will call it nonsense, and many will choose to not believe. But Peter, man, he jumped up and he ran to see. And Peter heard. He was kind of slow to remember. Remember? Because he kind of went away. He was kind of like, I don't know, man. Some of us guys are like that. Let's just be honest. Like, when I was reading that, I was like, some guys are kind of slow to remember. Is there anybody else in here that's like that? Yeah. Okay. few of you are bold enough to I think you got nudged by your wife. But anyway, and so you could be any one of these people. As a person, you could be any one of these people. You could be a follower who just needs to be reminded. You could be a skeptic who thinks it's nonsense and doesn't believe. You could be a seeker, one that's looking to see if it is true. But my point is that you need to remember that the life that Jesus brings is only found through his resurrection. You know, you might be seeking. You might be that person that's seeking and looking and trying to find, and you've looked in all these different places, and like we talked about before, all of the things that you've endeavored to look into were dead. They've left you empty. They've left you unfilled. They've left you unsatisfied. I'm here today to tell you that you need to seek him because he is alive, and he will bring that resurrection life to you. The resurrection of Jesus is so much more. It's so much more than a day that we celebrate. It is a life that we live. And I think that sometimes we forget and we overlook and we don't remember the significance of his resurrection. You know, I was going through this and thinking about this. You know, a lot of times when I prepare my messages, I try to think about ways that I can, you know, make it stick, so to speak. You know, I was like, well, maybe I could take a Sharpie and, you know, and write on it and then just go around and just stick stickies on people. He is risen. You know, go out in the parking lot, have the ushers take some sticky notes and just go out there and just go down the line and just stick those stickies on their thing to remind them. That's what we need. We need reminded. Today we need reminded of his resurrection. There might be some other things in your life that you need reminding of. Can I tell you, he left you a book full of promises that are reminders of what he did for you. Reminders of salvation, reminders of healing, reminders of, you know, making things that were dead alive again. Those things, those desperate moments that he has promised to help you and strengthen you and give you wisdom. There's promises. And so we just have to go to his word and look at his word. And so I'm not going to put sticky notes on your cars. You're not going to go out there, oh my gosh, there's all these sticky notes. Some of you guys like have really, really clean cars. You don't want the sticky stuff on your car. And so, but I want to look here just at three things as we bring our service to an end. Three things that I believe are probably some of the top three things that are important. Number one is found here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Look at this. We're talking about remembering. And what does Paul say? He says, let me remind you. Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it to you then and still stand firm. It is the good news that saves you. If you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something else. Listen to this. I passed on to you what was most important. What was most important, Paul? That Christ died for your sins. So we need to remember today. You need to know and you need to remember that Christ died for your sins. Many of you guys probably know that. It's like, I know that. Thank you, Jesus. But some people in here don't know that. They don't know that the sin that they have in their life, that Jesus died for it. Here's another thing that you need to know. It's found in Romans 5:12. This is a little bit longer, but this really explains, it really tells the why to why Jesus had to suffer, why he had to be rejected, why he had to die, and why he had to be raised again. Look at what it says in verse 12 of Romans. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. And so death spread to everyone. That's us. Every one of us, guys, it spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of one man, Adam brought death to many. So what does that mean? It means because of Adam, all this sin and all this death was brought onto all of us. Ephesians tells us that we were without hope. But look what it goes on to say here. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this man, Jesus Christ. The result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. Aren't you guys thankful for that? For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to being right with God. Even though we were guilty of many sins, for the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive. That's key. You got to receive it. We'll live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So what we see here, guys, is that because of Adam, man, sin entered, condemnation came. Death was brought upon us. But man, because of Jesus and his grace and this wonderful gift and this grace that he's put upon us, we were made right by his son. Man, that's good. So we need to remember, because Jesus hung on a cross, because he died, because he was raised from the dead, we live in triumph over sin and death. Did you know that, friend? Today, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what's going on, he died so that you could triumph. Your triumph and your victory is found in him. Whether it's relational, whether it's, you know, seeking purpose, whether it's seeking identity, no matter what it is that you need, that victory that you desperately need is found in him. It's found in his resurrection, and you have to go to him. It's the promise that he gave to us. We don't have to be bound by sin. You don't have to be bound by sin. You're not held by sin. Sin has no power over you. The condition, though, is that we have to receive this grace. We have to receive this gift from him. And the last thing is this, in Romans 6:4, that we were buried, therefore, with him in this baptism unto death, in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to each one of us to remember to walk in this newness of life. We have to make that choice. The time when Jesus told the disciples, he followed with these words. And you know, remember, he told these women, he said, listen, remember what I told you. Well, the thing is that when you go back and you look at each one of those instances where Jesus shared with the disciples, he said, listen, this is what's happening to take place. Here's what's going on. You know, what follows is amazing to me. You know what follows? He tells them, he's like, hey, I'm gonna suffer. I gotta be rejected. I gotta die. And I'm gonna be raised on the third day. And in one version, Peter comes against him. So here's Jesus telling them what he has to do, but Peter argues with him, and he says, no, you're not gonna die, remember? And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. This is what I have to do. And I think sometimes, aren't we like that? We argue with God. We argue with his promise. We argue with what it is that he has promised. And Peter did the same thing. In another version, when he was telling them, the next thing they did after he told them what he had to do is they started jockeying for who was going to be the greatest. And that, to me, is kind of human nature. That in this life, that Jesus came, man, and he bled and died for us. And sometimes we as people, man, we're jockeying for position, or we just kind of pick and choose what it is that we want to believe. And Jesus is just like, you're missing the forest for the trees. Because look what he says here. Because after each one of those instances, this is what Jesus said in the following verses. Then Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 16:24, I don't think they have it, but listen. If any of you want to be my followers, you must give up your own way. those ways. Take up your cross and follow me. And if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for my sake, you'll save it. And so today, the question that I ask you when it comes to remembering, I think that if we really want to remember his resurrection the way that he designed for us to remember it, we got to give up our life. We got to lay down our life just as he laid down his life for us. He's asking us to do the same. And he said that when we lay our lives down, we'll find our life. So as we strive to find purpose, we strive to get what it is that we want, he's just saying, lay it down. Lay down your life. Follow me. Look to me, and I will give you life. We don't have to strive. He just said right here that if we try to hang on to it, we'll lose our life. I don't want to spend my life striving and trying to get. No, I want to look to him. And I hope that you do too today. Because in Romans 10:9, and you guys know this, that if we openly declare that Jesus is the Lord and believe with our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Amen? So let us remember today. Let us remember these three things: that he died for our sins, that he triumphed over sin and death, and that we can walk in newness of life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and just commit this to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. We thank you for this time. We're so thankful for what it is that Jesus did for us. May we recognize, may we remember and be reminded of the significance of your resurrection. Living and walking in that, we thank you, Father, for it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we want to give everybody an opportunity that, you know, if you're far from God, you've walked away from him and you aren't really following him. You're trying to do your own thing, as we looked at. Or maybe you're a person, you've just never given your heart to Christ. Today is your day. Listen, we don't want you guys to leave not knowing him. He came for you. He died for you, so that you would not be separated for eternity. This is an eternal decision. This is a big moment. And so if you're here today and you are far from him and you need to get back in right standing, just lift up your hand and say, Brian, I need you to pray with me. Or if you're that person and you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life, just slip up your hand and say, Brian, that's me, I wanna pray. Is there anybody in here at all that you wanna pray? You wanna make that decision? Anybody at all? I'll give you a second. It's important. It's important that you're right with him. You know, he sent Jesus to make you right with him. And it's just up to you to just simply respond, simply to take him at his word, simply to believe. Is there anybody at all before we close? All right. Father, we just thank you for this day that you have made. Oh, Father, we rejoice in your resurrection. We thank you for the promise of life. God, as we live in this resurrection, I pray that as we go from this place, that we will be the light and the salt to the world that is around us, those that don't know you, those that are far from you. May we be that light. May we be that resurrection to them in these last days, because we know, Father, that the harvest is great and you are looking to us to be that light. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may look up here. And I think if you have your communion elements, you know, there's another thing that he told us to remember. He told us, he was sitting with his disciples and he instructed them to remember the sacrifice. Remember his sacrifice on the cross. You know, and so as we bring this to a close, we just want to simply take this opportunity to remind ourselves of the blood that was shed, the body that was broken for us. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says that I have received from the Lord what is I also delivered to you. And the Lord Jesus, on that night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. Do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the body. We thank you for the stripes that were taken. Yes, for our sickness. We thank you, Father, that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We are whole from the top of our head to the tips of our toes. We thank you, Father, for the body. In Jesus' name, you may partake. And it says, in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim Yes, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that takes away our sins. We're so thankful that we're washed white as snow today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may partake. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't he good? Thank you, Father. He's so good. We're going to take this opportunity. I think the kids are out there. We're going to bring this service to a close with a song of celebration. How many of you guys like to celebrate? We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. So come on in, kids. Let's give the kids a hand as they come in and the music team can come up. Yes. He's good, isn't he? We're going to celebrate as we bring this to a close. And so I just invite you guys, come on out. Look at this. Come on. Man, you're looking good. Woo. You look good too. Yeah. You guys going to go take your place? Come on down here. Let's give them a hand one more time. As they just makes them feel like, you know, we're okay. We're okay. Come on in, guys. Come on over here. Come on over here, kids. This way. This way. Just spread out all over. Spread out. Just spread out. Come on over here and look at this. Look at the adults and your family. Smile. Look at them and smile. Look at the camera and smile. Wave. You can wave. Come on over, guys. Yeah. He's saying stand up. You guys can go ahead and stand up. And let's just worship God. Amen. All right, let's sing, guys.
My soul. Praise. This is what I'm talking about right here. This is what I'm talking about. I'm a youth pastor. I love kids. I love students. I love youth. This is what it's all about. You can't lose a little bit of that comfort zone, man. Come on. Praise the Lord. There is victory in this house. There were seeds planted today. God is doing something good. You guys are good. You can go ahead and head on back. We're going to let these students go. I just want to take a minute and thank everyone for taking the time to come and join us today. We're honored that you chose to come and worship with us. I believe, in fact, I know there were things done in you today. You don't have to leave the same way. You don't have to continue down the same line. You don't have to live that same thing over and over again. Break the cycle. Bust out. Throw your hands up in praise. Something amazing has taken place today. We are celebrating the victory. We just got done doing a whole sermon series called the Warrior Series in Youth. We're talking about breaking free. The victory is already ours. We just got to remind the devil. He needs reminding. Who won? Who did the fighting? Jesus. Who got the victory? Jesus. And he said, here's the victory. Here's the success. Here's the prosperity. It's already ours. It's in our hands. We just got to shove the notice in his face and go, hey, you're served. Devil, you've been served. Devil, you've been served today that Jesus is alive. Amen? Today is a day to celebrate. As you guys go and spend time with your family today, just remember what this is about. We get to do this in a free nation where we can go and enjoy this and really revel in the beauty of what this day represents, right? Guys, once again, be blessed. If you're a first-time guest, we're honored to have you. Please swing by the hospitality room. I know you're busy. You got things to do, but we want to meet you. We want to hook up with you. Guys, be blessed. We love you. Have a great day. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Be blessed. Y'all are dismissed. Thank you.